Heavy in listen-only mode.
Shalom Aleichem, everybody. Welcome. As we talk about this week's parasha, Parashat Balak, I'd like to discuss a couple of the rather mysterious occurrences of this parasha. A lot of what happens is highly unusual and difficult to explain. I'd like to start with what is probably the most mysterious part of the parasha. Many of the parasha talk about it. The fact that Bilam goes with the Sarei Balak only after he gets permission to go, and yet the pasuk says that the Rabbeinu Shalom is angry. And that seems to be inconsistent. Rabbeinu Shalom gave him rishus to go. I know there are numerous explanations, but the explanation I'd like to share with you is one which gives us a yesod, a basic idea which can be applied in numerous other places in Tanakh. And this says in the Tosfos Bracha. Tosfos Bracha says that there is a difference between two Hebrew words which are typically translated to mean with. Im, imoi, imcha, means with you, with him. Im, ayin mem, is a word that means with. There's another word, the word es, when it's used as kum leich itom, es is used also to mean with. Go with them, itom, es, chem, itcha. Both words mean with. The Tosfos Bracha explains that there's a difference, a very simple difference in meaning between the two. The word im denotes a solid connection, a connection that has depth to it, as we find imai anoichi betzara. God says that he shares the pain of Klal Yisrael's difficulties. Imai is a depth to the connection. Where the pasuk re'ei chayim im isha asher ahavta refers to the relationship between a man and a woman. Im, a man and his wife, have a connection that has depth to it. Or v'arba me'yos ish imai, when it refers to Esav's henchmen, it says they went imai, which Chazal Darshan Ki'amai, they were like his people. As a matter of fact, the word im and the word am are similar, because am denotes a deep relationship. The word es, itcha, itchem, is used to denote a superficial relationship, when things happen to be together, for example. Ba'aralteem arlasai estiriai, the parasha of Arla, it says that Arla applies to the fruit. It says es tiriai, and Chazal Darshan es hatofel tiriai, that which is accompanying the fruit, that the peel of the fruit is included in the din of Arla. The peel of the fruit is connected to the fruit. There's no depth to it. It's a very superficial connection. It's something which happens to be on it, around it, even perhaps protecting it, but there in a superficial way. Once we know this yesod and we read the psukim, it's really beautiful. Originally, when Bilam requests permission to accompany the Sarei Balak, the pasuk says in the final pasuk of Lasheni, "Vayomer lekim al Bilam, lo yisei leich imahem. Do not accompany them, imahem. Don't have a relationship with them." Later, when Bilam still wants to go, the Rabbeinu Shalom says to Bilam, "Kum leich itam. I give you permission to go with them, alongside them, to accompany them, but not to have a relationship, to have a partnership with them in the plans that they have." So the Rabbeinu Shalom said, don't go imahem, go itam. The pasuk then says, Vayakam Bilam Babayke, Vayachavayshes Asaynai, Vayelech im Sarei Mayav. When he went with them, he accompanied them. He went with them as one who is connected and has a deep relationship with them. Vayichar Afalikim Ki Haylechu. And then the Malach came and was ready to destroy Bilam because of that which he had done. So this idea that the im and the itam have two different meanings is a beautiful explanation here. The Hagos Maimini in Hilchas Talmud Torah, Perek Gimel, Ois Beis, adds a different nekuda. He says the word im is used when A accompanies B. We say A is Hailech im B when the second one mentioned is the Iker, is the one that's leading. And he brings numerous examples of this idea that im implies that the second one is leading. Here, the Rabbeinu Shalom said, don't go ima, Yavi went, with them leading the way, the im means that they are the ikker and that you are the secondary. So it's a beautiful explanation of the mistake that was made and the whole Vayicharaf, and Derech Agav, we gain this understanding of the difference in Hebrew between two words which seem to be synonymous but are used in different ways. I'd like to move on to a second issue, something also a bit mysterious about Bilam. The Chidah gives a beautiful explanation to it, but let me start with the mysterious part. As you know, Bilam really did want to curse Klal Yisrael. However, he knew he could not do what the Rabbeinu Shalom didn't want. And three times he tries to curse Klal Yisrael. Three times the Rabbeinu Shalom puts words of bracha in his mouth. That we understand. However, after the third bracha, the fourth instance at the end of the parasha, after Shavi, Bilam voluntarily blesses Klal Yisrael. Yisra Mishalei Vayomer, he's not prompted. No one tells him to say anything. He just on his own offers a fourth series of blessings of bracha to Klal Yisrael. And that's a mystery. Why is Bilam doing this? To answer that, let's step back, and I'd like to share with you a thought of the Chidah. The Chidah does not ask this question, but the Chidah explains the method by which Bilam worked, and in that way gives us an insight which can apply here. As you know, Bilam was a Navi. A Navi is someone who knows the future. It's prophecy. Yet, what was Bilam's reputation? Balaam says, Asher tevorech mevayrach, Asher tor, you are. Those who you bless are blessed, those who you curse are cursed. In what way did Bilam have this power to bless people? What does it have to do with being a Navi? A righteous person, a tzaddik, can bless people. What is the kayach of the blessing of Bilam? Says the Chidah, Asher tevorech mevayrach. Mevayrach is actually past tense. Those who you bless is already blessed. Or are already blessed. It doesn't say Asher Tevorech Yivurach will be blessed. Asher Tevorech Nivayrach. The Chidah says that Bilam had an elaborate scheme. His blessing was meaningless. However, Bilam was a prophet. He knew the future. When people came to him for a blessing, he knew which people would be Matzliach in the future. And he chose them, the ones who he knew through prophetic vision would have Hatzlacha, would become wealthy, would recover from an illness. Those are the people he blessed. Asher Tevorech, Nevayrach. Those who he chose to bless were people who he knew were blessed. Of course, he fooled everyone. Everyone thought that it was his blessing that did the trick. And he gained. People came and paid money for his blessing. Of course, he didn't bless everyone. He chose who to bless in order to get this type of reputation. That was the method by which Bilam fooled people. This is what it says in the Chidah. This being the case, you can understand, Bilam wanted to curse Klal Yisrael. Instead of cursing, the Rabbeinu Shalom changed it to a bracha. He had no power to bless. However, he realized prophetically that Klal Yisrael would be blessed. Once he realized this, he kept his reputation going. He blessed them again. He gave them further bracha. That was his whole method by which he developed the shame, the name as a holy man, and therefore he voluntarily offered up the fourth bracha in order again to help his reputation. So this explains a second mysterious episode here in the parasha. For my third mystery of the parasha, I would like to share with you a thought that is my own. I haven't seen anybody who discusses the following question. What question is this? I invite you to review the parasha when you have a sedra, you listen to Lang, and try to be objective. Pretend you've never heard of Bilam, and read the words of Torah Shavikzad, and then try to come up with an impression of what type of person he was. Actually, if you read the Torah Shavikzad about Bilam, he's a wonderful person. He does Nadati. He says, Rabbi Nechashuv Ali, fine, I'll go home. Again, total tzaddik. He tells him, go. And then he tells Balak, Hayuchaluch Daber Mu'uma, Adosh, yes, I'm looking to see Yosei Adaber. Just like Yosei says to Parai, I can't do anything. What God puts in my mouth, I'll speak, and then he blesses Klal Yisrael. From the Pesukim, Bilam appears to be a tzaddik gomor. Now, of course, Tarshav Iksav without Tarshav Apeh is meaningless. And we follow the interpretation of Chazal, Tarshav Apeh, and we know that it was not so. Yet, isn't it strange that the Tarshav present Bilam in such a way and teach us how his words were always the right words? He always said the right thing. Sounded like a tzaddik. What is the lesson here? Rabbi Hanan in the Kovet Shiur writes regarding a concept that we find in Shas. The concept is the idea of Al Yistach Adam Tivla Sadam. When a person speaks, he has to be careful. He says words that imply bad fortune. His words may have an effect. Words are real. Words can cause things to happen. This is what the Gemara says. Rabbi Hanan explains that it's really not that way for most people. Most people who say things don't automatically cause an effect. However, Rabbi Hanan explains, the mouth is like a sharp blade. If you're careful, as a mayel or a sheikh it is with his blade, he keeps it sharp, he keeps it clean, he keeps it from rusting. Then he has a blade which can cut. However, if someone does not take care of his blade, the blade becomes rusty and dull, and it doesn't work, it doesn't cut. So too with the mouth, the lips, the tongue, the ability of a person to speak and to affect the world through his speech. If his mouth is kept clean, if his mouth is kept speaking properly, then it has an effect on Olam Hazeh. If he sullies his mouth by saying words of sheker, by saying words of lashon hara, by being an unreliable person and saying the wrong thing, then his mouth does not have the effect that it should. As I stated, Rabbi Hanan, Bilam knew this sight, he knew this secret. His power was in his mouth. His power was in his speech. Whether he cursed was cursed. Where did he get this power of speech? He knew the secret. The secret is that whatever bad mashava he might have, whatever diabolical plan he might have, whatever misdeed he might have in his behavior, but he kept his mouth clean. He said the right thing. Let me give an example. A businessman was crooked, but is always afraid the FBI is taping his conversations. Well, be careful in every phone conversation to say the right thing. He's being taped. He shouldn't be caught. In every phone conversation, he's going to say, I'll do it, but do it in a legal way. I never do things that are illegal. So too with Bilam. He kept his mouth pure. And that blade remained a blade, despite the fact that he was a Russian. And this is the lesson of the Parsha. The Parsha tells us how Bilam kept his mouth clean. And therefore, he did have such a power, power of speech. Lesson, of course, is to us. We don't have bad or diabolical mashav. But if we want our mouth, a kayach hadib or a kayach hatzila, to be able to have an effect, then we have to keep it clean, keep it the right way. So, having explained these three mysteries of the parsha, I'll leave you with something quite mysterious, which I don't know an answer. The issur of Nasi Ba'am Cholaisar, the prohibition of the Torah against cursing, the Chinuch brings a machlokes. Do curses really have an effect in this world, or don't they? The Chinuch says that to him it's more logical that spoken word does have an effect. However, he says, sheet of the Rambam is that it's all in a person's imagination, that a curse really doesn't do anything. And the Chinuch humbly writes that he accepts the opinion of the Rambam, that klala, a curse, does nothing. I don't understand. This entire parsha seems to be telling us that the curse of Bilam could have an effect. As a matter of fact, as we read right to the Haftarah of this week's parsha, voices of Bilam. So what it seems to be telling us is that there is such a thing as a curse. Very, very difficult to understand how the Rambam would explain this. The Torah reads, Am Yizchor Na'amayot Balot Melech Maya U'me'ono Yisei Bilam Ben Ba'ar Ben Hashitim. Remember what happened. L'man Gas Tit Kais Hashem. So you can know the greatness, kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is which He has done to us to protect us. Bama Akadein Hashem. How could I thank the Rabbi Nishalem? This idea that a klola has an effect seems to be the lesson of the parasha. And yet, the Rambam seems to hold it is not so. And with that, our time for this week is up. I wish everyone a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. If you're heading out to the mountains, your schedule is changing, remember, any time a person's schedule changes, it's a moment of opportunity. Your schedule changes, it's an opportunity to add to your siddurim, to add to your ability to spend time in the Beis Medrash. It's an opportunity to have to go the wrong way too. Use it the right way. Make it a summer of increased learning. Chaperein, another 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there. Remember, you normally do homework at night with your children. Now you don't have that homework, but take my homework. Take the Sefer, take Nach. You can learn Yeshua, Shaistim, Shmuel, Amalachim over the summer. If you learn only two Prakim in a day, you can cover it. Be well, have a great summer. I look forward to talking to you again next week.